Chapter 8. The Funeral. The day of the funeral found the entire village mourning. Becky Thatcher moped about the deserted schoolhouse.
"If only I had the brass doorknob to remember him by," she said over and over.
Boys and girls gathered and shared fond memories of the boys. There was a dispute about who saw the boys last. Everyone wanted to claim the last sighting. Soon the bell began to toll as the villagers gathered. Aunt Polly, Sid, Mary, and the Harpers entered the church. All were dressed in black. The church had never been so full. As the service progressed, the minister spoke lovingly of the boys. It wasn't long before the whole congregation sobbed. Over the sobs, there was a rustling in the back of the church. It was ignored at first, but the minister finally looked toward the noise. His eyes grew wide. Soon all eyes followed his gaze. Marching up the aisle were Tom, Joe, and Huck. They had been listening to their own funeral sermon. The congregation buzzed as Aunt Polly, Sid, and Mary rushed forward. They hugged and kissed Tom. Tom's heart filled with joy. This was the proudest moment of his life. Even Huck got kisses and hugs, which he wasn't used to. Monday morning at breakfast, Aunt Polly looked Tom square in the eye.
"Well, I don't say it wasn't a fine joke, Tom, to keep everyone suffering most a week so you could have a good time. But it is a pity you let me suffer. You could have given me a hint you weren't dead."
"Didn't you even think about it, Tom?" asked Mary.
"I wish I had thought about it, but I did dream about you, Auntie. That's something, ain't it?"
Tom told her every last detail of the scene he had witnessed from under the bed.
"My goodness," said Aunt Polly. "What a dream, Tom. The spirit was upon you."
Then Tom decided to add one more detail.
"And when you went to bed, I was so sorry for what I had done, I wrote you a note. It said, 'We ain't dead. We off being pirates.' I put it on the table by the candle."
"Oh, Tom, I forgive you," said Aunt Polly.
She grabbed the boy and gave him a crushing embrace. It made him feel like a guilty villain.
"It was very kind, even though it was just a dream," Sid whispered.
"Shut up, Sid," said Aunt Polly. "A body does just the same in a dream as he'd do if awake."
And with that, she sent the children to school. Tom felt like a hero at school. Kids listened to every word he said. Joe and Huck told their adventures to hungry listeners, too. Of course, they all added details that made the other boys even more envious. Tom decided that he didn't need Becky Thatcher now. He decided to ignore her. The more Becky tried showing off for Tom, the more he fussed over Amy Lawrence. The more Tom talked to Amy, the angrier Becky got. Becky decided to give her attention to Alfred Temple. Of course, Tom noticed right away. He began to hate himself for throwing away any chance he had with Becky. Although he was with Amy, he couldn't stop thinking of Becky. Tom fled home at noon to escape Amy and get away from Becky and Alfred. Becky noticed Tom's leaving and became heavy-hearted.
"Go away, Alfred," Becky said. "Leave me alone, can't you? I hate you."
Alfred scratched his head and wondered what he had done. Tom arrived home in a dreadful mood and was met by Aunt Polly.
"Tom, I should skin you alive."
"Auntie, what have I done?" Tom asked.
"You've done enough. I went over to Mrs. Harper's and told her all about the dream you had. Lo and behold, she found out from Joe that you were here that night. What do I make of a boy who lets me go make a fool of myself?"
What seemed like a good joke only hours earlier looked mean now.
"Auntie, I wish I hadn't done it. I didn't think."
"Oh, child, you never think. You come all the way here from Jackson Island to laugh at our troubles. You never thought to take pity and save us from sorrow."
"Auntie, I didn't come to laugh. It was to tell you that we hadn't drowned. I wanted to keep you from grieving. But when you got to the funeral part, I just got full of ideas. I had written a letter, but decided to put the bark back in my pocket. I did kiss you, Auntie."
Aunt Polly softened a bit.
"Why did you kiss me?"
"Because I love you so much," Tom replied. "You laid there moaning, and I was so sorry."
"Then kiss me again, Tom, and be off to school."
When Tom left, Aunt Polly ran to get the jacket that Tom had worn. She paused before putting her hand inside.
If this is a lie, too, I couldn't bear it.
She put the jacket away. A minute later, she couldn't resist. She plunged her hand in the pocket and pulled out a piece of bark. She read the bark and smiled.
I could forgive the boy now, if he'd committed a million sins.